Bullshit. That's the title of this shit. And when you hear bullshit, just say that shit hit. Now quit. Don't try to fuck with this. I just drunk some gin. I gotta take a piss. What a relief.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of No BS with Brian and Susan. I'm your co-host, Susan Stevens, and I'm here with Brian Kluger, the hostess with the mostest, as he likes to call me.
Oh my goodness, it's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's, Susan.
Happy Valentine's.
Oh my goodness, be my Valentine in the movie world. Oh my goodness, no BS. Brian and Susan for a Valentine's Day show? What's happening?
Dogs I'm so excited.
You're excited? I'm excited. We have a great show today, right?
Yeah, we've got a lot to talk. We're of course going to talk about Bachelor, but we're also going to talk rom-coms, favorite TV couples, and we watched a romantic comedy. So I thought, I guess we can call it that.
No, yeah, it was a romantic comedy. When you let Susan Stevens pick a movie, chances are romantic comedy.
Well, but they've been like, I will say, well, we'll get into it. But the last two romantic comedies I picked were way better than this. I can't believe what happened with this. So.
Right. And yes, we are No BS with Brian and Susan. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, iHeartRadio. Please subscribe. Please subscribe. We're on YouTube. This Chicks Flicks, Boomstick Comics, the Multimedia Men Podcast Network. But let's start it out. Start it out, Susan.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into it with a Bachelor talk. Well, just officially this week, we can say that almost all the mean girls are gone. Would you count Serena C as a mean girl or no?
No, not yet. Like, I don't think she's a mean girl yet, but okay. The mean girl, the big mean girls are definitely gone. However, with what they tease for next week, it looks like there a lot of people are going to be mean girls.
Oh God, Bachelor. I don't know why they're bringing Heather Martin. Apparently that was true. Heather truly, she's from Colton's season. Apparently everything she said is true. They said no to her at first, but she kept fighting it that she needed to meet Matt. And apparently she showed up on the grounds like that on her own. The show didn't do it. So that's what Chris Harrison is saying. I don't know why she would do that to herself, because really bad idea this way, this far in. But I will say that's still no excuse for the girls to be mean, which is kind of the theme of this season, which is really sad because I think Matt James is a great bachelor and we're not getting to know him or the good girls that are there. There are some good girls that we're not getting to see very much of because they are spending way too much showing the drama. And we knew way too much about Victoria and Anna and MJ. Thank God they're gone. We do need to discuss that exit though. Okay. Anna, as far as her leaving, she gets called out. She goes completely meltdown as far as like, I suck. I'm horrible. What do you think of Anna's exit?
Which one is Anna, by the way?
Anna's the one who started the rumor that Brittany was an escort.
Oh, okay. Yes. No, for sure. So I think, you know, who knows what's genuine and what's not. I mean, I think she realized she did wrong, unlike Victoria and MJ. But I think Anna realized it. And I actually think, like, you know, we've said it before, but in the episode, The Simpsons, the Valentine's episode, actually, I choose you, where Bart pauses, because like, you can see where actually his heart breaks. I think you can actually see where Anna's realizes she fucked up.
Oh, you can
pause it and like, oh, there it is. She realized what a horrible person she was being. And yeah. Then it bit her. You're like, that's, I mean, gotta own it.
It did. I was okay, and only because we saw how some of these other mean girls left. Anna looks like the angel out of the three, which is funny because before this all happened, they were starting to classify her as the worst. But the fact that she could at least own it, and even if she was just like, she's upset she got caught, which I do feel is a part of that, she was able to say, I did this, I messed up. And I do respect the fact that in the limo, she was able to say, like, he's a great guy and he shouldn't be with someone who would let that come out of their mouths. So, and I like, oh, by the way, the way he handled all the mean girls, well done, Matt. That's, I really loved how he said he needed to make it a safe environment for the women here. And he told Anna, you're not a bad person. You made a mistake and the damage is done.
Yeah.
Like, that was really cool. And before we get to Victoria, we can go ahead and say MJ's exit, because Victoria's is kind of like iconic here now. But MJ's, she kind of really showed her true colors in this last episode. What did you think of her exit?
Oh, it was so amazing. Oh, Victoria, she...
No. Sorry, I meant MJ. MJ.
Oh, you meant MJ. MJ. Okay, so MJ... her group date where she wasn't participating in anything and she was kind of being bitchy to everybody. And then when Matt went to hug her from behind, she just couldn't care less. Like, I noticed that. I was like, what is going on here? And so, you know, her being a hairdresser, I put being a hairdresser with a ton of gossip, because that's kind of like the stereotype. You go to the hairdresser, there's a lot of gossip. So her saying all of this stuff, and then when her and what's her name?
Jessenia?
Yes, Jessenia got into it. It seemed to me that MJ knew she did she knew she did wrong, but she would not own up to it and would constantly just kind of like what Trump did, was just like put it back on somebody else and constantly say the same thing over and over. And it didn't make sense. Like, it's not Victoria style, but man, she really was vicious. And then when she like was crying about it, and then she's like, I gotta be like a bad bitch now or something like that. Yeah,
she was like, I had a weak bitch moment, which I was like, whoa, there you go. And that's
red flag. Yeah. So her exit, like, I actually laughed at her exit, because like she was so confident that she was going to be the one to be chosen. And she's like, how could somebody, like, I lead by example. I'm like, you don't lead by example. You lead by horrifying cruelness.
Victoria's a special kind of delusion. And I wanted to save her for last on the Mean Girls, but MJ, the fact that she was like, I preach peace and harmony. She said that over and over again. And she said she led by example over again. And I was like, I don't know who you think you are. That is not at all what you do. You don't give an example of anything. If anything, she actually kind of has that resting mean mug face.
Yeah.
Hard face. Like, when she's like, it's so mean. Like,
show me your mean face, Susan. Show me your mean face.
I don't have a mean face, but like hers was like, she's like, laughing about it. It's just like, I can't do it. It's just, it's very hard. That's what I see. Like, I don't want to get in her face, because she will rip me to shreds. And she's so mean to Jessenia. She was just like, do less, Jessenia. Stop talking and do less. Like, I don't know how, like, bless my, some of these women, I'm like, you're on camera. This is gonna get played back. And she has shown no remorse. Who knows what it's gonna be? I cannot wait till this Women Tell All, because it's gonna be a good one. I'm wondering who will be apologetic and who is still gonna keep up the, oh, I did nothing wrong. There's no toxicity and I'm a perfect angel. Cause that's how I feel MJ, which I was surprised. She became definitely one of the worst girls with this last exit.
Yeah, it was. It was funny to watch, for sure. And I was very happy that she left.
Me too. I knew Matt was going to send her home. Some people were worried. And I was like, no, if he sent Victoria and Anna home, he's not going to keep MJ. That's what I respect about Matt. Once he gets a whiff of the drama and a mean girl, he doesn't tolerate it. He cuts it. So yeah, that's great. Cause other matchers have been a little delusional, but we got to talk about Victoria's exit now. Victoria, the queen is gone.
The queen is dead. Delusions of grandeur. And I, once it happened, I was like, please go down in a hail of bullets. Please go fucking explode. Just like, I can't wait. And like, we didn't get a volcanic eruption, but her delusions of grandeur like stayed with her. And I don't get what she said to him, and what she said like in the car on the way home was so funny to me.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny you brought up Trump, because I have called Victoria the female Trump. That is what she reminds me so much of. She is so delusional. Like, and she thinks she's the best. She's not kidding. Just like Trump will be like, it's your favorite president. She's over here being like, I brought so much joy to the house. They're going to miss me. Like, everybody loves me. I'm like, girl, no, they do not. And she thinks she's the perfect person for Matt. She really thought she was the perfect, only everybody else there sucked. She's the best. And she legit called the girls losers. She called them losers.
Like Trump did.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's so much about her. That, and then she doesn't think there's any issue. She's like, there's nothing wrong. It's all in good fun. It's like, she thinks anything mean she has said is just like, that's not serious. Like, she brushes it under the rug. And it just reminds me so much of Trump, like how he behaves with stuff. Like, anything he has said that is cruel, he would probably justify as like, that's not what I meant or something, whatever. Like, no accountability. But oh my God, when Victoria, like, Kay, and she's like, I feel so sorry for you that you would listen to hearsay, and you know, like, not. And she just looks at him, and Matt is speechless because he's over it. He's like, that's what I've seen in interviews. He said, I didn't. There was nothing else to say to that. I was just like, go home.
I know. It reminded me of 12 Dates of Christmas with that one girl, and the guy was like, Dad, oh my God, what a nightmare.
Yes, yes, that totally is like that. It's that one, like that one girl, and then Chad was literally like, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, just like, we got to get out of this situation. And so she said that, and then she started saying like, I hate the word Matt right now. Like,
no. Yeah, she said she'll never date a guy named Matt.
It's so funny.
I was literally like, well, the best meme had it, because there was a meme that had it's like, I'll never date another Matt again. And then it was like, congratulations to all Matts.
I know, right? It was, I'm trying to figure, like, I really want to have her on the podcast, and I really want to know, like, if she has a family, what they think of her, if they raised her like this. Like, it's hard to believe somebody's actually like this in real life. Like, it can't be. It has to be a character that producers want her to do.
I don't think so. I thought that at first, but I listened to other Bachelor podcasts, and two of the people were there on Nemecolon or whatever it's called. And they said, Victoria, like, one girl went on there and like tried to like call her out. Like, Victoria tried to call her out for doing nothing. And I guess she's really sensitive, and she will do that. Like, she'll be like, I don't like that you did this. I don't like that you did that. And like, if you can get her on the podcast, absolutely. But I bet you she will not like us. She'll be
that's
like,
fine. That'd be awesome. That'd be great content. Be
like, I don't like you. She'll be like, I think you guys are very rude. And I mean, I have no idea. I don't know what she would do. Like, I think that's who we're seeing is true. But yeah, I would love to talk to her.
We'll send out the invites.
Like, any of them. I mean, I want to hear more, because there's so much that we're not getting to see this season, especially versus like Tayshia's season. We got to know the guy so well. We got to know Tayshia so well, because there wasn't as much drama. And I don't know.
Is there like a difference between 30 guys and 30 women? Like, is there going to be like, cause I feel like if I was in that situation with the 30 girls this season and new people came in, I'd be like, hey, you know, what's going on? I don't think I would be excited.
I don't think you'd be like, hey, what's going on? But I think you'd be nice.
I think I would. I'm like, hey, more brothers. I don't know. I feel like I would do that.
So I do feel really good, because if I had built a connection with Matt and I'm thinking, okay, great, we're going to be dwindling down. If I stick it out another night, I'm going to get more time with him. And five new women come in, of course I'm going to be upset. I'm be like, what? This sucks. But never, ever Would I be rude? I'd be like, hi, I'm Susan. Like, come sit down. What's your name? Like, so what happened? Like, oh, they kept you for this. And all right, well, you know, I would not be enthusiastic, but I would never be mean. I would never treat these girls. This is why Victoria reminds me of Trump, because Victoria was so, there's never been a villain like her. She speaks so freely to say the most awful, horrible things and does it, like yanking that crown off that girl. I've never seen that. But like, I think people like saw just how bold she was and the things she got away with saying. And they were like, oh, huh, I guess I can be, well, like Trump could be racist. More racist people came out in the world, I feel like. It was like, all right, I guess I can do this because he's doing it. I really feel like it was like a slight bit of a like chain reaction. That's why some of these other girls, MJ, I think is MJ the way she is. But some of the other women who felt comfortable, who I think are probably nice people, like a Kit, for example, think they got a little bit more of like, that follower vibe, and they thought Victoria was funny or something, and they're like, sure, we can be like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that by them doing that, it felt okay for other people to do that, and they just kind of fell in line.
Exactly.
But with this new girl coming in, which is strange to me, because it seems like everybody has been on The Bachelor, and like even Matt is roommates with a former Bachelor and stuff like that.
He was a contestant.
A contestant.
Former Tyler C was a contestant on Bachelorette.
Okay.
And Matt James is just his best friend, and they were like doing a lot of quarantine videos, and then like Bachelor Nation just were like, ooh, who's this Matt? And Matt James was supposed to go on Claire's season. That was the
thing. Okay. So he's got his own thing. So now this girl comes along and, you know, she, oh my God, just her video she was making with the pizza and like uber super excited, which is very strange to me for not meeting somebody. And weird. Then she comes in and people are really pissed. And then the show for next week that they tease seemed like everybody's really pissed at this woman and like making her cry. Maybe that's not what really happens, but that's what it looks like.
We'll see. What I'm sure she's gonna cry, because I feel like Matt's not gonna keep her. I'll just tell you right now, I think he's gonna be like, look, it's
yeah, why would you? Why would you?
Right, he would be very wrong for him, because he's really more than halfway through here, and hometowns are just like in 2 weeks. And he's already built connections. It's not like he's told like 6 girls he's falling in love with them. So for him to bring her in, it's going to look really bad on him if he was like, sure, stick around. The thing before it was earlier on, and he didn't even get a choice. It was like, here are 5 new girls. You don't get a choice in this. It's coming.
Yeah.
But with Heather, I think he's going to probably say it's too late. So she probably is crying over that, but I'm just going to be really disappointed in these girls if somebody is still like mean, because did you learn nothing from?
Right. No, for sure. That's why are you being mean towards this girl? Like, and if that happened to me, I would look at it as like, we've been here for 6 weeks. This person's coming in. There's like no chance. And I would just keep my mouth shut. Like, hey, what's going on? And, you know, right. It doesn't make sense. So that's right. What I think, but I'm very disappointed. Well, I'm not disappointed. Well, I am disappointed, but I really liked Katie. I liked Katie. And out loud, right when they got to the date, which was like the kind of like the pranky date, I said out loud, oh God, he's sending her home.
Because that date is the most unromantic date you could pick.
Right, it's right.
The most friend zone date.
It is. And And, you know, he handled it like a gentleman.
Yeah.
And it was funny to see him fumble over his words, Matt fumble over his words of, like, why. And I was like, man, just say, like, you're not physically attracted to her. Like,
well, I didn't think it was that necessarily.
I feel like that there was no romantic physical attraction to Katie. I think he liked her personality, but I think he wasn't willing to kiss her or touch her or really anything like he was other people. And I think Katie's gorgeous. I think she's great. I just, it felt like that to me. And then he was trying to fumble around his words of why it wasn't going to work.
I don't think you're wrong about like the, so I don't think it's necessarily like, it's nothing on her. I think she's beautiful too. I don't think it's necessarily like, oh, he first saw her and he wasn't like attracted to her or anything like that. I think she might be the type of person because she's so cool. And also, I've called, I know you thought she'd be like top four or something like that, but I called it very early on that the minute she came out with that vibrator, that sets the tone of like, she's a jokester, which is cool. She's a bro. I bet you this has happened to her before where she falls into the friend zone because she's such a cool chick. She's so cool. You can be her friend. Like, I want to be her friend. You'd be her friend. Anybody would be her friend. And I think she puts herself there. She becomes more, the things she talks about, it doesn't get very romantic. Like, I mean, as someone who's been friend zoned many times herself, I know that that can be a struggle. And I think that that's ultimately what it was because I don't know. It's just some women have it where they're very like flirty and physical. And then,
but
some women,
I think she's flirty. I thought she was flirty. I was like, man, I was like, Katie's. No. I thought that. I was like, man, don't you want a girl that you can have fun with as well as be sexy and gorgeous and fun? Like, I don't know. I saw something in her, where it's like, you know, like somebody like Chelsea, who's beautiful and gorgeous, but like she is not making an effort to do anything. She's just kind of sitting in the back wings waiting to be called on, which is why she's not getting a single date. But it doesn't seem like any of the other women are as cool as Katie. And I feel like in a relationship, you want somebody that's fun that you can have a good time with, not just somebody who kind of looks hot and, you know, maybe is kind of sweet. I don't know. That's me.
No, you're right. But I think it's really also comes down to the way the show edits. We've gotten to see a lot of Katie because the show, which makes me think that the rumors of her possibly being Bachelorette is very likely could be true. But they have shown Katie in a great light. She's also kind of got that mothery vibe in the house, which doesn't help her romantically either. But from what they have shown us with her relationship with Matt, it comes off more friendly than it does romantic. I've never once, like, I was shocked when you thought like he could pick her, because I was like, I don't think so. I would be that is immediate friend zone. He went into that friend zone fast with her.
But I guess what she did, like, my personality, I was like, oh shit, that's amazing.
Right, everyone's different. I mean, and maybe it's you're also in this, like, I don't think that some of the other women there aren't like cool and stuff. Like, I think there's a lot of great women there that we just haven't gotten to see a lot of, but I think they've just built a better romantic connection. They've just built a better romantic. I wouldn't say physical. I really don't think so, because I think Matt was genuinely attracted to Katie, and they haven't like shown, but I saw other previews where I was kind of surprised they didn't show it, but like he has made out with Katie quite a bit. They don't show it in the episode.
Interesting. Okay. So yeah, I didn't see that, but maybe I'm wrong about that, but it just seemed like there was no romantic connection or physical connection between them, at least from what I saw.
Yeah.
That he just liked the personality, and I just felt bad for her because she really thought that he really liked her too, but oh man, you could just see her heart sink, man. It was just like so brutal. But like you said, guys, I thought about what you said. I was like, oh, maybe she's the next Bachelorette. And which would be cool. I guess
you would love that, huh?
No, that would be, hopefully she would be fun as shit, just like she was on this one.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, the other girls, like I like Chelsea a lot, but she's just not putting an effort whatsoever. I'm surprised she's still there, even though she seems very great and fun. I still love Abigail.
Yeah.
And I still, let's see, who else? Kit. So from the trailer for next week's, Kit looks like she's good, turn into really mean girl. So I don't know. But also Kit's 21, and that's far too young.
You still like Kit?
No, because I remember her date with him. And every time he says that he just loves being around her, I was like, I don't get it.
I thought their date was so like one of the weakest dates. Like it was like there was, it reminded me of the Serena P date, because that like there are some young girls, but her and Serena P come off very, very young and not as emotionally. Well, I will say Kit seems mature for her age. I do think she's mature for her age, but their conversations with Matt, or at least what they've shown of the conversation, they don't have much depth, not in comparison to the other dates. So I just, that's why from what I'm seeing, I'm just like, you got better options in this group. So if, so who is your, who's the top three women you would like Matt, who's for Matt?
So right now, I guess it would be Abigail and the one he went on the date with at the carnival.
Oh, you like Piper. Okay.
Piper and who else would I want to see? I guess in Serena.
Oh, you like Serena B. Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Very interesting. Wow. I have like none of your women. Piper, I think Piper is gorgeous, by the way. I think she's one of the prettiest women there. But she loses points for me because she seems like such a sourpuss a lot of times. Like she gets very emotional. She becomes like a hothead when things don't go her way. Like just her reaction to Heather, like when she walked in, she's like, what the fuck? Like she's like, who the hell is this person interrupting my time? And I'm like, Piper, you have a rose. Calm down. Oh my God. And just like, you can, I'm worried Piper's going to be mean to her. I'm worried she's one of the ones that she's going to be like, I don't know.
I hope not.
Yeah, because so Piper for me, not so much. I've seen her. She's just like very whiny. I guess she's just very whiny from what they show. But I do think she's beautiful. My three are Bree, his very first one-on-one.
I do like Bree.
Yes, she's also half Persian. I really hope she gets a hometown because I want to meet her mom. But if she would come, I don't know how they would do it. But Bree is my number one. I like Abigail. Oh, wait. So, no, we did have that in common. I love Abigail. And Rachel. Were you not a fan of Rachel?
Which one's Rachel?
Took on the pretty woman date shopping.
Oh, yeah. I liked her. But, man, she lucked out on that fucking date. Jesus. If she goes home, she lucked out.
Yeah. Every season a woman gets that date, the shopping date. Oh, wow. And they say it's legit, like, thousands of dollars of things. So a lot of times that girl will like share her stuff because they get like too much of like luxury stuff.
She lucked out. I was like, because like, again, this is my first time watching it. Mm-hmm. And I never saw that. I was like, whoa, man, she scored the big one right there. Even if she goes home today, she got tons. And I was like wondering, does Matt pay for all this, or does the show pay for all
the show actually? What happens, I believe, is like the store that's, you know, providing it is probably like just wants the name drop, you know, like Louis Vuitton's and whatever, all the, they just say it. They're just like, oh my gosh, this is what it is. It makes you want to go there. Like,
yeah. No, for sure. That was good. So yeah, looking forward to next week. I'm ready for Matt to break down and cry. Let's do it.
I have no idea what's that in the promo they've showed him. There's like a part where he is like really legit crying and Chris Harrison asks him, are you okay? And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm like, what is it? What could it be? So probably nothing, but anyways, well, that is our Bachelor talk. I'm very excited for next week's episode. I'm really looking forward to, like, I always say it's, you know, get rid of the dead weight and, yeah, let's get to that point. So let's watch the love. I want to see the love. But into our main event, we're talking rom-coms. So I want to start by asking Brian, what do you look for in a romantic comedy?
Are we talking about rom-coms today because of Valentine's Day?
Yes.
So what do I look for in a rom-com?
Yes.
Well, it has to be equally funny and romantic and not kind of over the head, hit you on the nose, cheesy kind of thing. And it kind of has to do with something a little different. I think they have to go down a little new path, even if it's like a little a tiny one. They have to do a little bit of originality there. Okay. But that's kind of what I want great leads that you really root for. And I want just great, funny, R-rated lines, because life is not PG-13 and romance is not PG-13. So I want like a full raw type of romantic comedy. That's what I look for into it.
I see.
What about you? What do you look for? Is all rom-coms an A+ in your book?
No, absolutely not. In fact, that's probably the genre that I'm most critical of, because it is my favorite. So actually, the number one thing I really look for is chemistry between the leads. So whoever the couple is, like, I want to feel like, oh my, like, sometimes I always thought like the butterflies, like, I'll get a butterfly from like a good like kiss between the couple. So just really good chemistry. Like, all my favorite rom-coms always have like that couple is just, something gets me, like, it gets me in my like gut. I'm like, ooh, so that'll win it for me. I can think of all the rom-coms I have on my list coming up. There's like a moment that like gets me.
That does it for you. Mm-hmm. I bet you I know one of them.
I don't know. So, I mean, I guess you kind of already touched it, but like, as far as, you know, rom-coms have so many generic cliche formulas, I guess you could say, like, you know, the nerd makeover, or bad boy falls in love with the good girl, or the two people that hate each other fall for each other. Is there like a formula that you typically like, or is it completely just you want to see something original?
I kind of just want to see something original. You know, I think there is an aspect, even though I know some romantic comedies should be regarded as science fiction, mm-hmm. because it fucking would never happen, and it doesn't happen. But, you know, something where like a nerdy guy or like a geeky guy gets like the princess, basically, like somebody way out of his league. Which
that's the long shot. That's long shot, basically.
Yeah, long shot. I like that. You know, because I guess a lot of people can identify with that, you know.
It never happens.
Like, it's the complete opposite of that. It's always the model and the quarterback type of thing. Like, that's what is real life.
Oh, real life. Okay. I was like, that's, I feel real, like, I've seen movies like that. But
no, yeah. No, that's real life. That's what happens in real life. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of the cliche that I like to see, just because, you know, it's still real to me, damn it. That's my WWE coming out to me, because you're like, oh man, these people are so great, you know, because there's movies I'll mention that kind of deal with that. Yeah. But I don't know. That's what I go. What about you?
I mean, I definitely appreciate originality. I do love, I would say originality as well, but there is something about, and this is probably the bad boy falling for the good girl. I think I do like, or not even necessarily the bad boy, but the popular guy falling for the good girl, who's kind of a nerd, or not even a nerd, but just not as like popular. I think like I always identify with the good girl, like that more, whoever that. So if the character I can identify with is maybe even if she gets with anyone, even as long as it's that character, I guess, as long as it's like the character I can identify with, I don't really care who she ends up with. But if it's one that I feel like, oh, that's like me, then yeah, I guess that's what I kind of look for. But ultimately, I mean, the formula wise is not as important as the chemistry, I would say.
Yeah, no, I just want something funny and not like super cheesy. I want something rated R, really. Because it's hard to write a rom-com that's PG or PG-13. Yeah. So that's where I'm sticking with.
Yeah. Well, that's good. As you know, like, I remember there was a time like when rom-coms were constantly in the movie theater. Like, I would be so easy that like Valentine's Day, or even around like Christmas time, that we could pick like a rom-com to watch. Like, I, especially Valentine's Day, I remember watching films like 17 Again, and He's Just Not That Into You, things like that. And now, like, they're not in the theater. Like, they're just, they don't happen anymore. It's on Netflix. It's streaming. So I'm curious, why do you think the rom-com genre is dying, especially in like mainstream, like big Hollywood films?
Because it's all been done before. For the most part, we've seen it all. They don't typically bring in a ton of money, and most people who've done rom-coms have already done them before, so they can't get big name actors. You know, like, if you want a rom-com to make a lot of money, you got to have a crazy cast, or you got to have The Rock. So it ain't going to happen. So I think if you have like some decent actors or something like that, even like if you got Tom Hanks to do a romantic comedy, he's done a million of them already.
Yeah.
He's not going to do another one. Like, dude, get Leo DiCaprio to do one. He ain't going to do one. He is just beyond like
It's so funny though, because that's actually somebody that I always, that's literally exactly Leo DiCaprio. I was like, man, I'd love to see him as a lead in a rom-com because I don't think he's ever done one.
No, like I would like to see him in fucking like a Judd Apatow movie, like acting with funny with all those guys. I mean, we kind of saw it in Scorsese's Wolf of Wall Street being a crazy person, but I mean, he's not doing those. Maybe like when he's 80, but he is doing like very serious and he's working with the best of the best directors, you know, like Tarantino and Scorsese and playing historical figures. So with people like that, we're not going to see it. And he didn't really start out like that either. Like he did Basketball Diaries. He's done really good roles. Mm-hmm. So he hasn't really, I mean, Titanic, it's not a comedy, but I mean, it's romantic.
No.
But
I guess that was like not a romantic comedy. So,
right. So it's, it would be nice to see something like that, but I think it's a money issue. And I think it's, where do you go from here? But I think there's some movies that I'll bring up later on that fall into that. But again, you know, being in a pandemic or even the last couple of years, they're very indie films, you know, they cost less than $10 million, are not going to play at 5,000 theaters across the nation. They're going to play at, you know, 1,000 or maybe 500. So, and again, I think that's star power and money.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think if you have an all-star cast of like, just like 30 crazy actors and bit parts, or if you have like The Rock in it and Julia Roberts, you're going to have it. But how many Julia Roberts movies are there like that? They're all the same. So there you go. That's my answer. What about you? What do you think it is?
I mean, you pretty much sum it up, honestly. It's all been done before. It doesn't, I don't think it has that, like, it really was the cast, because I'm thinking back, like the bigger ones, they had like big names like Tom Hanks, Julia Roberts, Sandra Bullock, Katherine Heigl when she did a bunch, you know, all these big names were the draw, and John Cusack was a big one too. I just feel like somewhere along the line, like the big actors didn't want to do them anymore. So it doesn't bring in the money and there's no originality. So anything that has come out since then, there's a very, very like a component that we haven't seen before. Which I'll bring into this. I think a big thing that has been refreshing the romantic comedy genre is bringing in different cultures. So yes. Getting to see, you know, with films like Big Sick, the Indian culture or Crazy Rich Asians, those are what's kind of refreshing the romantic comedy genre so that we can see a different perspective, see different, how different cultures handle romance and stuff like that. So I appreciate that. And then I don't know. So Netflix is killing it with them. And
right. No, I think it's a good model because you can stay at home and you don't have to waste $20 on a romantic comedy that most likely won't be great. There's an off chance that it will be good.
It's become a step above a TV movie kind of feel. Like it's better than a TV movie, but it's more affordable for them to just, and they succeed. They're I guess it's become, yeah, nobody wants to go out and pay $20 to see a romantic comedy versus seeing the movies that are coming out are big action blockbusters that they feel are worth seeing on the big screen, like, or the superhero films, like things like that is what's worth seeing on the big screen. And I guess a rom-com can just be seen at home.
Unfortunately. So, yeah. But I will be the first one. I like rom-coms. I do.
You do? You actually do? Oh, I guess I've noticed that you've liked some of mine. So, yeah. No, I mean, yeah, I love them. They're feel good for me, for sure. But, well, getting into that, let's say our top five favorite romantic comedies. Now, you can say your top five, and then I'm imagining if it was hard for you like me, I have a lot of honorable mentions then. So.
Okay. So, top five?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh my God. So what did I have to write down? And we're talking top rom-com movies, right?
Yeah. Top rom. And I have a ton. Like this is really hard.
God, I have 12.
Okay. I've narrowed it down to 11. I narrowed it down to 11. I had 12, but I crossed out 500 Days of Summer because it was a little too, maybe not quite rom-com. So.
All right, should I go?
Yeah, you just go with your list. I mean, is there any on the list that you can actually identify as a top five, or are these all like an equal 12?
I think I can narrow it down to top five.
Okay.
Okay. So no particular order, though.
Mm-hmm. Right. Same here. No particular order.
Okay, so you mentioned his name, John Cusack, so I'm going to go High Fidelity. Okay. High Fidelity, great fucking romantic comedy, wonderful, great characters, music, and it's about him losing the girl trying to get her back. And then he does what everybody wants to do, is go back to their past relationships and see what fucked them up, which is really funny. I'm going to go Annie Hall with... Woody Allen and Diane Keaton. Oh my God, that movie just speaks to me. It's so funny. I'm going to go, let's see here. The Girl Next Door.
Oh, that's a good one.
With Elijah Cuthbert and what's his name? Emil Hirsch.
Yeah, oh my God. He was hot in that time. I know most people are like, she was hot. I was like, looking at him.
No, and a young Paul Dano's in that movie.
Yeah.
That movie's awesome. All about falling in love and getting into a crazy world of porn. Mm-hmm. So that's three, right? I'm going to go Wes Anderson's Moonrise Kingdom.
Okay.
Innocence and just kind of first love of these two kids that are just amazing. Like it's done perfectly and awkwardly and... they genuinely care for each other. It's really cool. I really like that one. And I think it kind of hasn't been done before. Good. And man, I guess I'm going to go Groundhog Day because it kind of shows like kind of an asshole, selfish dude who kind of spends 10,000 years in a loop to impress this one girl he likes. And I think that's pretty amazing. And I like that. Those would be my top five.
Okay. That's your top five. Gotcha. All right.
Were any of mine on your list?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Them were on my list, but they were very good films. They're very good because like I told you, this is my favorite genre. So like, I like all of them, especially I'm surprised. I did really like The Girl Next Door. So
that movie's very underrated.
It is. It's extremely underrated. It is a good one. It really was. So, I guess I wouldn't think about Groundhog's Day as a romantic comedy, to be honest. I just don't think about it. I think of it more as a Christmas or no, I don't think of it as a Christmas movie. I just think of it as a comedy.
It's Groundhog Day.
But okay. So what are your, we'll just go ahead and say like strong honorable mentions, the rest of your seven.
Okay. My strong honorable mentions, Love Actually. I fucking love that movie so much. Like it still gets me emotional. It's still fun to see the happy endings as well as the sad endings. Shaun of the Dead. Fuck. Okay. I love Shaun of the Dead. It is a romantic comedy because that movie's all about Shaun trying to get back his girl. He's trying to save her. That's the only thing he cares about. And there's a zombie apocalypse. Bride of Chucky. Yes. The fourth Child's Play movie. It's all about Chucky falling in love with Tiffany. They have a baby. It's wonderful.
Great.
Right. Also, another Edgar Wright movie, Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Okay. Great, fun, romantic comedy there. Notting Hill, which is the one I'm thinking about, of like, it's a sci-fi movie, because there's no chance in hell that a small bookshop owner would get the fucking heart of a leading actress. Like, right. It's just never gonna fucking happen.
Right.
But they did it great. It was believable. It was funny. It was great.
So good. So good.
And then my other one is 40-Year-Old Virgin. Just because, you know, I don't relate as a 40-year-old virgin, but I relate to, like, there was one time where I had all the action figures in boxes and they were all in the place. Like, I get it. Yeah. But I like that aspect of him, you know, falling in love with a girl and trying to hide the fact that he's a virgin because it's so looked down upon, and his friends trying to help him. I like that.
Yeah.
And then the last one is Superbad, just because it's a great romantic comedy. These two guys like these two girls who are clearly way out of their league. And them trying to make them happy at a party. I don't know.
See, some of yours, I don't like are slightly like Superbad to me is just like a comedy. It's just like, I go a little bit more like, it's like the, it's like a friendship comedy. I would call it, because it's more about those two. I wouldn't really call it like a romantic comedy, because it's, I don't know. I just don't, their relationship with the girls they liked didn't really matter. It was more about their friendship.
Their friendship. Okay. So if I had to take one out, I would take Superbad out. But I kind of like unconventional romantic comedies like Bride of Chucky.
Right. I'll give you that one. I'll give you, because it's about them too. I'll give you that.
And even Shaun of the Dead, I think.
I'll even do Shaun of the Dead, but I can't say Superbad.
All right. I'll resend my Superbad one.
But I will say you did stay true to yours. All your romantic comedies, most of them, they all have this, also, like, you know, Notting Hill is pretty cliche. Not, you know, that formula, but.
Oh, it definitely is, though. It is very cliche.
You have that. A lot of them were very original, unique romantic comedies. So that you stood true to that for sure. Good stuff. Good stuff. And I do love Love Actually. I didn't put it on my list because I put that, I follow that with a Christmas film. It's one of my favorite Christmas movies, but I do love it. It is, it's a romantic comedy. It really, that would easily fall under it. I love it, but okay. It was really hard to pick my top five here. I have no particular order. I'm going to look at this again. Okay. Maybe I should. So hard. Okay. you know what? I think I'm going to replace with that.
I feel like I know what your number one and number two is.
Well, this is no particular order, but I am going to go ahead and say 10 Things I Hate About You, 100%. So good.
It's a great movie. The characters are great. And I'm telling you, the director of that movie directed Think Like a Dog.
It was such a great movie. That's another one. For me, the couple that actually clicked for me was Bianca and Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character. Like, those two was the one that I would get, like, the butterflies, like, from their kiss in the car, and just the way he would, like, look at her. I really, like, loved him. That's who I was looking at, not Heath Ledger, but he was great. But I also really liked Heath Ledger's romance with Julia Stiles in that.
Yeah.
So, just a great, easy, easy watch. So funny. And
it's a Shakespeare movie.
Yeah, you know, it's an adaptation from a Shakespeare. Yeah.
You know which one it is?
Taming the Shrew.
It is. That's correct.
I do know that. Uh-huh. So I really love that movie. That's could quite possibly be that's just one I can easily rewatch too, just like all the time. But also Can't Hardly Wait.
So I actually thought about that one too, because that movie's so goddamn funny, and so many people in it before they were people. And it's literally, I mean, is there maybe an unhealthy obsession of love there, but it works though.
Right. Well, I call it, which, okay. Cause I didn't put Say Anything on here because I don't think of it as a comedy. It's not really, there's funniness to it, but I love Say Anything. I just have to say that, but I wouldn't count it quite as a romance. I just call it a romance, but I almost think of Preston in that movie, like I forget the actor's name.
Ethan Embry
as like a much more calmer Lloyd Dobler, because he just looks at this girl from afar that he's never like talked to, Amanda, and he finally gets his shot. So it's like, you know, he's not, he doesn't have like a boom box over the head or anything, but he's, I mean, he's hunting her down and stuff. So, but I mean, the movie is just so damn good.
It's great. It's wonderful.
It's a great, and I related to Ethan Embry's character. I just think that he was such a likable guy. He was that person that he wasn't a loser. He wasn't a nerd. He was just this normal person that everyone got along with, like in all.
Susan is tall. She has hair and wears t-shirts sometimes.
Well, that's Jason Segel, right?
Yeah, that was great.
I think. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that was Jason Segel for sure.
There was like maybe another person with him. But yeah, that was so, it was like sometimes. Yeah, yeah. So funny. So funny. And then, okay, would American Pie count?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I totally forgot about American Pie. Man, American Pie might be in my top five. Shit.
Yeah, that's like...
All of them are great. But yeah, the first one is wonderful.
All like four, the first four. Like obviously like the ones with the original cast. So
yeah, the original, like the real four, not the direct-to-DVD ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, I especially, like you said, like the first two especially are like amazing. And but yeah, I just love the American Pie films. They have, yes, it's a raunchy comedy, but at the heart of it, like it has real relationships and real love in it. So that's... love that.
Oh man, American Pie, good choice.
Yeah, I feel like I have to put You've Got Mail. It just kills me not to put You've Got Mail. It's at least up there, like it's so even with a lot of those, but You've Got Mail, Tom Hanks.
So why not Sleepless in Seattle? It's the same movie.
No, it's not. No, Meg Ryan is way more, like she's even cuter in this. I think it's just, I like the whole like, that's one where I like the two people who like hate each other and butt heads, and then it turns out they've been chatting with each other this whole time, and their chemistry is off the charts in this one. I think they have the best chemistry in You've Got Mail, and Tom Hanks is hot in it. Meg Ryan is hot in it. It is just,
they did a string of movies that were romantic comedies, like Joe Versus the Volcano and Sleepless in Seattle and You Got Mail.
Yeah, You've Got Mail is the best out of them, but also, I put Obvious Child.
There it is. I was waiting for it. On a scale of zero to Obvious Child, how great is Obvious Child?
Amazing. That one is an original one for me. That, to me, that's the like the unique original element that, like, you know, we don't see that story often at all. And what I loved about it is it's so realistic. Like, I feel like that to me could happen. Absolutely happened. And that was one of the few romantic comedies where, like, especially in a time in my life when I was like, it was just maybe about a year before I would eventually meet Trevor, but we had such a realistic lead. Like the guy who she falls for, Jake Lacy, I think is his name in real life, he is the most normal person. Like there's nothing, he's not Brad Pitt. He's not like crazy fit. He's just a normal dude that she meets at a bar, and it's just a nice guy who warms her butter. Like it's, they have such great chemistry too. I don't know. So yeah, that one's really special to me. So, those are, I would say, the top five again, not in any other order, but strong honorable mentions that I feel like guilty not even putting, and they couldn't fit. There isn't enough five. But like I said, if 500 Days of Summer counted as a rom-com, that's in there.
Okay, yeah. I didn't like 500 Days of Summer.
I know you didn't.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
But Never Been Kissed. I love it.
My autobiography, Never Been Kissed.
I just think it's so good. Did you like that movie or not? A fan?
Yeah, I like Never Been Kissed. It's a great movie.
Yeah, it's so good. So this is one of the newer ones, but actually the first To All the Boys I Loved Before has officially made it as one of my favorite rom-coms.
Dang. Because
It is. I can watch that over and over. Great. Again, the relationship between Lara Jean and Peter is amazing. And I love it because it brings a sense back to the, from the like 80s movies I used to watch, like 16, they do all these like 16 Candles references. It, there's like, there's that John Hughes. It feels like a John Hughes film. I think that's what it is. But I love it. He's just not that into you. There you go. Strong cast, but I almost thought I was going to get rid of that DVD. About a year ago, Trevor and I watched it and I was like, I don't know what the hell I was thinking. This is fantastic. This is what every woman needs to watch. Like,
did you have the book? I can still remember the book cover of that book.
No, I got the DVD. I just watched the movie. That's, I don't need to read. I just don't need to read that. But there's another like teen, like I love the teen ones. Like, yeah, something about like coming from a young person's perspective, I just really enjoy. But Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging, it's like a Nickelodeon vibe, British.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
So freaking good. I love rom-coms that kind of teach a lesson. Like, I don't know, like I like the lead trying to like learn as she's trying to like learn dating. I love that. It's a great one. The Big Sick.
Great movie.
Another one that like after the genre died, it kind of revived it a bit. There's this movie on Hulu, which I wish so badly I hadn't already seen it and I could make it a blind watch, but it's going to be in the honorable mentions as well. But plus one, if you have not watched it on Hulu, I strongly recommend you do. And Crazy Rich Asians. Also, I think it's pretty fantastic.
What about the one with Keanu Reeves recently with the Keanu Reeves cameo?
I know which one. I thought about that one too.
I like that one more than the high school one that you mentioned.
See, that just, I love high school. High school is such a great like setting for me. I think I enjoy those a lot, but I know exactly what you're talking about. Alice Wong or something's in it, right?
Yes. Is Randall in it?
Yes, he's in it too. Randall Park, right?
Yes. I can't remember the name of it.
But always Be My Maybe.
Always Be My Maybe. Yeah, no, I like that one definitely better than the high school ones that you mentioned.
I will give you that it's a good one. I thought about putting that and even Set It Up, another Netflix one. I really like Set It Up too.
Okay.
But yeah, a lot of rom-coms. I could go all day because they're so good. But as we near out the main event here, I could actually think of five with like one honorable mention of our favorite TV couples. So if you have favorite TV couples, what are they, Brian?
All right. I pick seven of them.
Okay. Okay.
So,
is this in no particular order?
No particular order.
Okay.
Gomez and Morticia Adams. From the Addams Family. I mean, those two are just, man, they are so in love with each other. They're, you know, uncouth. But the love is there. Like, they're the perfect marriage.
Okay. Wow.
They really are. They are.
All right.
David and Patrick on Schitt's Creek.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet, but okay.
Yeah, uh-huh. Dan Levy. Yes, that... great couple. Jim and Pam from The Office.
Right, of course, yes.
Uncle Phil and Aunt Vivian from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Man, just talk about like rock solid marriage and greatness there. Mm-hmm. Carl and Harriet Winslow from Family Matters.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful couple. Keith and David from 6 Feet Under. Keith and David, and then Homer and Marge Simpson.
All right,
that's my favorite TV couples.
That's your very good list. Very good list. Homer and Marge is a good one. They did not. I can throw them in as an honorable mention. I didn't think about like cartoon or anything. But all right, well, mine in no particular order. I've got seven. Then I'll just say in. No
I feel order. Like we had one the same.
I bet you know which one.
So I know which one.
I'll just say it. Jim and Pam.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. They might be my number one, actually, if I had to pick one, because I think they're just such a realistic couple. Like, watching them, like waiting for them to get together is, I feel like so many people watch that show and they caught on to just that. So many people would tell me like, I got to see if this couple, how they get together or if they get together, like you just got to watch them. But yeah, Jim and Pam for sure. Zach and Kelly from Saved by the Bell. I love them. I used to like, I'm so glad I got the DVD of it, but I used to just kill my VCR rewatching their wedding episode. Sometimes I would just rewatch the wedding, just the actual wedding, because I was like, yes, they're together. Ultimate couple. Like they survived high school and college and they're married. And even on this new series, which I haven't watched yet, but they are still together. They better not ruin that. Seth and Summer from the OC. Did you watch that?
Never watched the OC.
Oh my God. Adam Brody. Love. That's how I fell in love with Adam Brody. I doubt you watched Gossip Girl, but Chuck and Blair, they are an amazing hot couple. Hot.
I might have seen one season of Gossip Girl.
Oh,
I've Chuck seen Vampire Diaries.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, Chuck and Blair.
Oh, okay. Good God. Gossip Girl all the way, but Vampire Diaries, you cross the fucking line here.
Exactly. Which I do, speaking of like that, I feel like I got to put Logan and Veronica Mars. I do think they
are. So Logan, huh? I thought Logan. About that. Yeah, I know. Logan and Veronica Mars. I thought about it because, I mean, I watched Veronica Mars as they aired.
Yeah.
Huge fan. Logan was such a dick. Until he wasn't, and it didn't make sense. And then the other guy was a dick until he wasn't. I never understood it. But yeah, I Logan became a great dude to Veronica. I will say that. Very well, weird.
This is another case where the bad boy changed for the good girl. Like once he had her love, I don't really agree with that in real life. It's fun to watch. But I love watching that bad guy change for the good girl, like a girl that can make him better. And I mean, his home life, you kind of understood why. Freaking
serial killer dad.
Yeah. Like, come on. Broken man. Look at the marriage he had. His sister sucked. Like Allison Hannigan. Like, it was a lot. Like, it made sense. It made sense. So anyways, that was one I liked. Also, Ben and Leslie from Parks and Rec.
I thought about that too. Mm-hmm. And I didn't put them on there because it was a relate. I feel like a really one-sided relationship.
What? Who?
Not like one-sided in forms of love. I think they both loved each other, but it seemed like Ben had to work super hard at it.
Okay. All right.
But I mean, I like both. I love Leslie. I love it, but it's, I don't know. That's why I didn't put it on there. But okay. I mean, I love them for sure.
Yeah. Well,
I think right. I would rather do Andy and April. See, as far as their the better relationship there.
That's so funny. I love Andy and April, but yeah. I think Ben and Leslie. But I love maybe because I love Leslie so much. I think. Okay. Yeah. You're not going to like this couple, but Monica and Chandler from Friends. I think
not Ross and Rachel. What?
No, Monica and Rachel are a way better couple. I mean, sorry, Monica and Chandler. Monica mm-hmm. and Rachel are a good couple too. and then finally, Corey and Topanga from Boy Meets World.
I figured that was your other one. I thought of two for you, and I thought you were going to mention Corey and Topanga. We forgot one huge one. Ooh, I just thought of.
Ooh, I feel bad.
Turk and Carla from Scrubs.
I mean, they're great. They are great, but I feel like there's more, like there's a little bit more iconic.
All right. Couple. All right.
But that's a good one too. I mean, it's hard. I could name all the shows I watch. I could be like, well, freak Buffy and Angel. Like,
yes, that's true. Buffy and Spike had a romance for a little bit.
Oh, I don't like Spike. I just watched season 6 and I don't like him at all, but I saw what he tried to do to her. And I don't even understand how anyone is a fan of that. I am not pro guys trying to rape girls and then you want to be with them. Sorry, but no. That doesn't work for me.
Was season six the had the musical one in it?
Yes, which was a good episode.
That was their first kiss, I think.
It was. It was their first kiss, and I don't like Spike anyways, but that pretty much sealed the deal. I was like, all right.
I'm so glad you're watching it. It was a great episode. And then I just loved in the song, and it goes back to like the Logan Veronica Mars thing, how he's the bad guy where he's like, I'm free. If that bitch dies, I better help her out. And it's just, that line is so funny to me. You know, it's like, oh, the bad guy. Oh, but he still loves her. So he's got to go after her. So he's conflicted. Whereas Logan really wasn't conflicted, but that's funny because Spike is a bad dude, but their romance is hilarious.
I don't like it.
He's a demon. He's a demon. What else is he going to do?
Yeah. I guess. But anyways, well, that wraps up the main event. We can go into our blind watch.
Oh, God.
I don't have.
So I have to be honest with you, Susan.
What?
Our blind watch, it had to be you. Ugh. I saw it on our run sheet, and until we started going through our favorite romantic comedies, mm-hmm. I had totally forgotten about this movie. Like, I was trying to figure out, oh, fuck, what is this movie about? Who's in it? And then it triggered my memory on what it was, and holy shit. I was like, man, that was a bad movie.
So bad. Like, I'm sorry. I cannot believe I paid it. I had a pretty good track record. I mean, Geek Charming, Valley Girl, those were good rom-coms. And this was just crap. Like, what was this movie? How dare it even try to be a romantic comedy? This was everything I hate in a romantic comedy. Like, it had no chemistry whatsoever. It made horrible script, and I don't agree with which. Okay, I guess the story, it stars, I don't even remember. It's very.
Here, I'm looking it up right now, real quick, just so we can go through it. But it's a movie that came out in 2015, and it was directed by Sasha Gordon, who hasn't done a whole lot of stuff, but she's actually a composer for a lot of stuff. And she's only directed three things. Her only like feature film is this movie, It Had to Be You. And it stars Kristen Milioti, who you have probably seen in The Wolf of Wall Street and Palm Springs and Fargo TV series, The Brass Teapot. And then Dan Soder and a couple other people. But I mean, so the movie follows this couple, and led by Kristen Milioti, who's like the girlfriend in this, and she plays the composer for commercials, which I imagine this had to be kind of autobiographical to some sort. But I guess this romantic comedy is about a dude, like an excellent dude, a great dude on every level. Like, if there's a checklist of 100 boxes of what it makes to be a great guy, this guy checks all of them instantly. Mm-hmm. And then he's with this girl who seems cool and great, and they've been together for a long time, but she's deathly afraid of marriage and commitment, although they do everything together. And so he wants to pop the question to her, and he's about to set up this huge thing, this whole elaborate kind of really romantic, sweet deal to propose to her. And she kind of sees it before it happens, and she panics, and she calls her friend and says, like, I'm just going to say yes, and then I'm not going to do it. He hears it, and then they break up, and she kind of tries to find herself, like, in an eat, pray, love type of way.
I guess.
But none of it makes sense. And she does some horrific fucking no good things in this movie, and she's awful to him. Yeah. And then it culminates in the ending that makes no sense straight out of a sci-fi movie. It's not real.
No, it is not real at all.
How does that sum it up? Like, is that...
No, you summed it up really well. For me, it reminded me the feeling of... It's funny because she was on How I Met Your Mother, but it reminded me very much of like a Ted Robbins situation.
Oh, yeah, she's the mother, right?
She's the mother in How I Met Your Mother, yeah. But it reminded me very much of a Ted Robbins situation where, although this guy was a better guy than Ted Mosby, but this, so this guy is like so good. He wants to marry her. I mean, there's nothing wrong. And he's so in love with her. Like, no matter what, it seems like he dates someone at one point when they break up, but he still wants her. I don't even know why he wants her. I don't even get it. She's been awful to him. And she's allowed to like basically go about her life, date other people, sleep with other people, be an idiot. And then whenever she wants to come back into the picture and be like, I tried the single thing, didn't work out for me. Tried to hook up with other guys, didn't work out for me. I think I'll go with you now. I think, you know, I tried my options. I'll settle for you. That to me was Ted and Robin's relationship on the show. Like she knew she had him. And then when there was nothing left, then she wanted him. She's like, oh, then I'll go for you. That's what I felt like this movie was, which I think is a horrible message. That is not what a rom-com should show. She didn't even learn anything from it. Like, we don't even know why she eventually like wanted to get back with him. Like, it just almost seems like, except for the fact that she just felt like, oh, it just didn't work out. Like, there wasn't even a moment where I felt like she actually was like, I love him. Like,
no, she was the same person throughout the movie. Other than like, oh God, I hooked up with this hot dude that ended up robbing me.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like, it doesn't make sense. And then she like comes back and everything's all good. And then it like ends in like the cheesiest, most predictable way that they set up at the beginning of the movie. And it doesn't, and she does it terribly. Like it doesn't.
Well, and then there's no feeling there either. Well, she comes back, gets back with him, breaks up with him again. They break up again because she still can't handle the commitment. And I have no idea what makes her want to be with him again. Like it just, nothing makes sense. It does not make sense.
Well, and why would he even entertain the notion that he would want to go with her again?
Right. It would have been 100 times better of a film if he would have just been like, no, you don't want me. If he had just said like, you don't want me, you think you do, but you don't, I'm done being your safety plan, we need to not be together, then I would have liked the movie a lot more. I've been like, good, she needs to be single. She needs to be single and discover herself. Cause that girl, it made him look bad as a character and it made her look like even worse.
Right. It is, the two leads didn't make any sense, even though the guy is great in the movie as far as a character, but his reaction and ultimate choice didn't make sense. The only part of the movie that was really funny to me was like the friend couple who ended up getting married in the movie and had the baby at the end. Because they were hilarious and kind of realistic, like yelling at each other and like, you know, it was like really funny.
Yeah, they were a good couple. I think the first shot of them is them on the bed like eating and watching a movie on their laptop, and I think I texted Brian. I was like, Trevor and I do that. Like, we do that at hotels. We do that at hotels a lot. Like, when we were on a trip, he'll bring his laptop and we'll just watch stuff. And it was so disappointing. And the trailer showed so much promise. And I really love that. I love to see a character who, like, is okay. So her thing was she was scared of commitment. And I was excited to see how she was going to evolve and grow and, like, what was going to make her, you know, what was her arc basically. And it just was nothing. She stayed the same horrible person all the way through. And yet she gets the guy. Yeah. So yeah,
it was, we were both texting throughout this movie and our expressions were like, no, no way is this happening.
We're just like at the end, stop. This is terrible.
And then I'd never seen Susan apologize so much for recommending a movie. I'm sorry.
I was mad because I was like, I was torn between two. The other one's in the honorable mention. I should have gone with that one because I watched that one and that one was way like so cliche predictable, but it doesn't like make you boil your blood. Like you're like, okay, that's fine. I was like, that's what I thought we were going into. I didn't think this was going to be a groundbreaking rom-com, but I thought it was going to be enjoyable. You know how we felt about Geek Charming and Valley Girl? I thought it was one of those. This just pissed me off.
I'm curious, since Sasha's, I wonder how the director and the writer, that Sasha Gordon, how much of this is a true story. Because like it definitely, the character is based off of her being the composer and living in the city and stuff like that. So I'm curious if she did this and I wonder if it was like an apology letter to somebody. I don't know. It wasn't a good apology letter.
No, it wasn't good. It was not good. But being that, so final, I don't think, do you recommend it or not, Brian?
Fuck no. Don't watch this movie.
Yeah, same. Absolutely. There is way better films like our honorable mentions that we're about to mention to watch. So skip it. Don't waste your time. It's a lot better on Hulu alone.
Go down to your nearest Hulu.
Yes. Something else. Wonderful. But all right. Well, I guess let's get into our honorable mentions. Did you have some? They're all mine right here. Did you have some, Brian?
I do have a few.
Okay. Do you want to start them out?
Well, let's start with the one that we have in common.
Okay.
The Map of Tiny Perfect Things.
Oh, you watched it?
Yes, I did, which goes very well with this episode of being romantic comedy. This is a romantic comedy. Well, not comedy per se, but okay. So, you know, we talked about Groundhog Day earlier. The Map of Tiny Perfect Things follows the story of Groundhog Day or Palm Springs or Live, Die, Repeat. In that scene where somebody's stuck in a loop and they relive the same day over and over again. However, I think The Map of Tiny Perfect Things tackles it in a different way, like Palm Springs did and Live, Die, Repeat did, because whereas those, or Happy Death Day might be the horror genre, the sci-fi genre, or romantic comedy genre like Palm Springs, I think this one deals with grief and loss and sadness where the others didn't. And I really like this movie. And I thought the two characters were great. A lot of chemistry. And I thought the romance was there. I really enjoyed The Map of Tiny Perfect Things, which will be on Amazon Prime this week.
Right in time for Valentine's Day. Yeah.
Did you like it?
I did. I actually completely agree with you. I was pleasantly surprised because when I saw the premise, I thought, oh God, another like time loop thing, like just after Palm Springs, like what are they going to do? And I appreciate what they did with it. There was a good trick because I thought something else was the issue. And it showed a different side that we haven't seen with the time loop storyline. So, and I thought another great couple. The couple was very likable. Both characters were likable. Nobody was like annoying, I guess you could say. But yeah, it was a really great one. I strongly recommend it on Amazon Prime.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Want me to go on my rest?
Yeah, go on the rest.
Well, just again, with a lot of these are rom-coms. I'll go ahead and say United States versus Billie Holiday. I think that comes out later in February. I'll pull up the exact date. That's the story of Billie Holiday. Andra Day does a fantastic job. The movie itself is fine. It's biopics are kind of always just kind of okay to me as far as a story, but it does tell a story that I didn't know. And just like I said, her performance alone is why that movie is worth watching. It comes out February 26th. So on Hulu. So that's one to watch. And then also on Hulu, I have to recommend Plus One this Valentine's Day weekend. If you want a really good rom-com that I think is pretty original and got a very indie vibe. It's funny. It has Jack. Oh my gosh. Why am I blanking on the famous father of his? Jack Quaid has Jack Quaid from The Boys. And it is just a really great romantic comedy. I love it. It's very relatable on a lot of levels. So that one. And then the other movie I should have picked instead of It Had to Be You is The Boy Downstairs. It stars the girl from Girls, who played Shoshana. I cannot remember her name in real life, but it's a very predictable cliche romantic comedy, but it's a lot more enjoyable than It Had to Be You. It's an easy watch. It's short. I enjoyed it. And another strong recommendation. I would say if you want to watch something new this Valentine's Day weekend, The Map of Tiny Perfect Things, and then To All the Boys, I love before, or To All the Boys Forever, Always and Forever. Always and Forever is what it's the official title. Final chapter of the To All the Boys franchise. I love these characters. I'm sad that it's done, but I thought they ended it really well. It makes me want to rewatch the first one. And yeah, those are my picks.
Good deal. Good deal. I'm interested in a couple of those.
Are you going to watch the final To All the Boys? I know you watched the first one. Did you watch any of the rest?
I did. I'm going to watch it because Okay. Fuck, I've watched the other ones.
Okay. I'm curious what you think. So yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that. My honorable mentions, my recommendations so far, I'll have to mention Bliss, which is the new Mike Cahill movie. He did Another Earth and I, Origins. This is his new film, which is great, with Owen Wilson and Selma Hayek. I really loved it. It's got elements of Christopher Nolan, Interstellar, and Inception in it, as well as like Total Recall in it as well. I really love that movie. Please go check that out. That's on Amazon Prime. Also, a new movie coming out end of February, maybe early March. It is called Cherry with Spider-Man, Tom Holland. Man, this movie is crazy. 2.5 hours of, I mean, it's like a Scorsese, Kubrick-esque, crazy movie that he narrates the movie, talks to the camera, and it is just about his crazy ass life, which is not always great. By the look of Susan, she saw it and she's like, Jesus Christ, really?
I mean, I held my tongue for Bliss, but my God, Cherry, that was a horrid film. God.
No, I like Cherry. Oh. I did. I liked Bliss. What Bliss? I liked Bliss. And then there's a new movie coming out this week. It is the 7th installment. However, it is a reboot of the horror movie franchise that started in 2003 called Wrong Turn.
Oh.
Wrong Turn has been rebooted and it is actually excellent. Matthew Modine is in it. They go a different direction than the original Wrong Turn. It is not inbred cannibals. It is something very different and very great. It is scary. It is brutal. And it is awesome. Check out the new Wrong Turn movie. And you can also check out the new podcast with the director, Mike Nelson, very shortly as well. But yes, Wrong Turn was actually pretty good.
How do you watch that? Where's that at?
That is going to be, I think, on just on demand. I think it's like you can rent it everywhere.
Okay.
So pretty good. I really like that. And then an older thing that I've just started watching, which I don't know why. It's called All American. It's a TV show. It's a CW TV show. The first three seasons are on Netflix, and it's basically the the black version of Friday Night Lights. And it is actually awesome. Taye Diggs stars in it. And okay, let me take that back. It's not awesome, but it's really good. Like, it has kept my attention. I like the characters. I like where they're going. It can get emotional. And it's just a lot of fun to watch, like, you know, kind of like this Beverly Hillbillies, like, you know, somebody from Crenshaw moving to Beverly Hills, you know, to play football. And it's really good. It's very timely. I like it. So if you've never watched All American, get a shot. And then my last honorable mention, which is my favorite honorable mention, holy God, when this came through the email, I immediately said yes. Coming out, I think this week or next, only on DVD, but also digitally. It is called Betty White's Pet Set, and it is from the early 1970s, and this is before Golden Girls, it is Betty White hosting a TV show with celebrities and their pets.
Wow, I would watch that.
This is the thing the world needs. Like, legit. It is so goddamn amazing. Like, the first episode is all about German Shepherds. And it is with Peter Lorre, I think. And they just have all these little puppies and dogs. And they just talk about them and all the different breeds of the German Shepherd. And then they move on to toy poodles with Carol Burnett. And then there's one with James Brolin, Josh Brolin's dad. And then they show clips of Betty White, who's big into animal advocacy, you know, playing with lions and cheetahs and brushing their hair. It's like, it's crazy, but it's Betty White, the young Betty White. It's celebrities plus Betty White and their pets on a TV talk show. And that's all. And it's fantastic. Betty White's pet set. Jesus Christ.
Sounds cool. Sounds cool. Very interesting.
It's really good. So I think that wraps up, right? That wraps
yeah,
up?
Yeah, I think that's everything. That was our Valentine's Day episode.
No BS with Brian and Susan. Valentine's Day. We are on Stitcher Radio, Spotify, iTunes, Google, Amazon. We're on all of it. Please find us. Subscribe. We're on Instagrams. Mm-hmm. Susan Stevens and Brian Kluger. We're all... everywhere, right?
Yep, everywhere. You got everywhere.
Everywhere. Find us. We love you. We'll be back very soon, where it will be my turn to pick a blind watch. I'm gonna get Susan back this time.
Oh, come on. Won't be hard to be better than that film, so I'm sure
it'll be awesome, like Riccio. So we love you. We miss you. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.